Most of you know Brother Hamby. He was a missionary to the Ivory Coast for a number of years. He's now a director or assistant director at Macedonia World Baptist Missions. He's going to be coming and preaching for us in a few minutes after the ladies get done with their special that they're going to sing for us. So keep Brother Hamby in your prayers.
I hope you had a good Christmas. I did not get what I wanted. I wanted a new three-pay. And I've told you before that I can't wear a toupee because they're not big enough. I have to have a three-pay. That way it'll go all the way around my head. So I didn't get it. I didn't even get my two front teeth. I didn't really get much of anything. But I hope you had a good Christmas. I'm just kidding. I got more than I deserve, I will tell you. I appreciate you praying for Karen. She came through a heart surgery just fine. We no longer eat pork at our house. She has a pig valve now, so she won't let us eat pork. She's afraid it may be one of her cousins, and she doesn't want to, you know. We just have to use, she has a new cream that she has to use. It's called ointment, and so helps her really well. But, no, we do appreciate you praying for her. We had a lot of people praying, and I've been surprised at how well she's rebounded, doing really, really well. They just wanted to keep her away from crowds and churches like yours, you know, for a while. Not so much the germs, I'm not sure why, but anyway, I've got her locked in a closet at home, and she's doing really well. But seriously, they want her to stay away for just a few weeks from crowds where she might pick up germs and things like that. And God is good. I told Miss Edie, I'm not sure if Miss Edie's here, I know Dan's here, but I told her on the phone the other day. I had told some of our missionaries, they were all worried about, I'd made the statement to our missionaries that she's going to survive open heart surgery, valve replacement, and going to die of food poisoning from my cooking, you know, and came close. But I told her not to worry, but because I have been working several weeks before the surgery, I've been cooking a lot of water and been freezing it, and I made it where it'd be microwavable, you know, so we flavor it with ice cubes, so we're really, really good, you know. But God is blessed that she did not get sick because we've had a lot of people bringing food, praise the Lord, and I've been enjoying that. Well, enough of the foolishness. I want you to go in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter number 14. We're not going to have a Christmas story or message this morning. We're going to be looking at a few things out of Genesis, chapter number 14. Now, I wanted to mention, and listen, Brother Mike said that your preacher's not been fired. That is of right now. Okay, he asked me because he was told about something that I do. Maybe some of you have seen Jerky Maya. Has anybody ever seen Jerky Maya? Wow, I got one or two. I got a good crowd here. Well, it was asked that I do that tonight. So I want everybody to be sure and be here tonight. And that is going to be that's pretty much going to be the service. Along with that, I end up with a message out of that. So you ought to be here and see it. I used to do it a lot. You'll understand you'll understand. You've seen it, right? Yeah, I thought so. I think once you've seen it, that's really profound, you know. But anyway, you'll understand when you see it, the energy that it takes to do it. And now it's like looking at something moving in slow motion, and you'll understand tonight. So I hope you'll be here. Please be here tonight, and we'll have a really, really good time. We're going to let her hair down. I mean, it's just going to be awesome tonight. So anyway, Genesis chapter number 14, would you stand with me? Well, we're going to begin reading in verse number 17. I might mumble and stumble through some of these names, but if you'll just have to bear with me as we read through this, we're going to read verse 17 down to verse number 24 and share with you a message. And I usually have P's, C's, and S's for my points, you know, but today we're going to use the letter V. Now, if you're a second child, I'm a second child. This does not mean victory. It means number two child because we're so pitiful. So if I do that and you're a number two child, you understand what that means. But we're going to use the word V in the message this morning and hope that it will be a blessing to you. Verse number 17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Kedorlaomer and the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Let's pray. Father, for the few moments that we have together around your word, I pray that you would please bless this word, this message that we have for our hearts today. I pray that you'd help us this morning, that we would purpose in our hearts that as we come to a new year, that there will be some changes made. There will be some things that we would resolve to do and be just like Abraham, to do the will of God for our lives. And I pray that this day would be a good day, a blessed day. Bless the visitors who are here today. I pray you'll bless the pastor while he's away with his family. Give them a refreshing, and they'll be able to be back soon to the pulpit. So thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. When you look at chapter number 14, it almost looks like a hodgepodge of things, that events that happen. When you begin the chapter, you're going to see a lot of names mentioned, and I'm not going to read the names because I've already butchered one of those, but you'll see that it begins the chapter with some men going to war, and then it ends up with Abraham and the statement that he's made there to the king of Sodom. And so when we read this chapter, you're going to find some wonderful things that happen in the life of Abraham. I was just sitting there this morning. I was thinking the reason that we're here today, I think about, you know, we just celebrated Christmas, and I think about this congregation of people. I think about how that in 1971, I received Christ as my Savior. And I think about a lot of things that have happened. And did you know nothing has happened by accident? Everything in our life has happened on purpose. But I think about all of the things that happened before I was ever born that happened, and those things that happened have brought me to the point in my life, things that the events that have come along even well before I was ever here. And we see even in this chapter in the life of Abraham some things that God had for him and some decisions that he had to make in his life that would bring him to a point where God could bless him and that God could give him that wonderful promise that he gave. And so for the few moments, I want to share with you these three words and hope that they will be a blessing to you. Well, my first word is the word victory. Now, when I study the life of Abraham, I don't find where Abraham ever went to military school, and I never find in Abraham's life where he ever planned to be a warrior, a general. But in this chapter, you're going to find that that is exactly what happened. Here in the story, just to bring you up to the point, was there were four kings that had subdued five kingdoms. Now, these kingdoms weren't really a lot of landmass. They were really city kingdoms. And you'll find when he talks about a city or a place there, they were not large stretches of land. It was a city. It was the area around that one city. And there was a king that reigned over that one city in that one little area, and they were scattered out. And so there were four kings from the northern territories that had come down and had invaded, and they had put these five cities, Sodom and Gomorrah being the two most famous of the five cities, they had put them under tribute for 12 years, and they were paying taxes. We heard a little bit about that in Sunday school about taxes, and so they were under tribute. Well, after 12 years, they got sick and tired of paying taxes, and so they revolted the 13th year. Well, the 14th year, these four kings decided, you know what? We didn't get our money last year. We're going to do something about it. So they take the trek from the northern area that where they were, and they're making their trek south, and here they come. Well, as they make their way, if you read down in verse number five, you'll find as they're making their way down to fight against these five kingdoms, that they run across six more kingdoms. And as they're going along, they destroy these six kingdoms on their way down to fight these other five kingdoms. So when they get down to these kingdoms, these five kingdoms, they defeat them. So in all, these four kings and their military, they have defeated 11 kingdoms. 11 kingdoms. Well, we have a man by the name of Abraham. He's sitting over there minding his own business. He's not got anything to do with all that's going on, except he gets word that his nephew Lot has been taken captive along with all of his family. And so he comes to the rescue. Here comes Uncle Abraham. Now, what we find here is that with 318 servants, who are not military people either, these are just servants for Abraham, 318 servants, along with three of his friends or his confederates, these three men with Abraham, they go and they are going to fight against these four kings and their armies. Now, this is a crazy thing if you think about it, because these four kings have just destroyed 11 kingdoms. So here comes Abraham, his three men, friends, and his 318 servants, and here they go. What happens? They win a great victory. But what is an amazing thing to me when I look at that is, if you go with me in verse number 5 for just a moment, I will look at that verse, the first part of the verse. As they're making their way down, I want you to notice that in the middle part of the verse, that they smite or they smote the Rephaims. Go a little farther. They smote and defeated the Zuzems. They went ahead a little farther and they defeated the Emims. Well, you say, well, what in the world is these, the Rephaims and the Emims and the Zuzems? I mean, anybody, when I look at these names, I think, boy, they had some angry daddies. You know, anybody that would name their kids names like this. Anyway, they defeated them. We say, okay, what's the big deal? Let me tell you what the big deal is. These three kingdoms out of these six were not ordinary people. These were giant kingdoms, kingdoms of giants. And so these four kings, when they're coming down, they, at the very beginning, they defeat three kingdoms of giants. And then they go ahead and defeat three more. And then they go down and defeat the five others. And here are these 11 kingdoms. Now here comes Abraham. So he's going to take on these four kingdoms who've defeated these 11 kingdoms, three of which are full of giants. They've killed them all, defeated them all. Well, when I look in verse number 17, the Bible calls the victory of Abraham, the victory, he calls it a slaughter. It wasn't just, well, we beat you in overtime and we by a field goal and we beat you by 1 point. No, 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 no. They slaughtered them. I mean, they put them in the ground. Can you imagine? Now, what would cause this man Abraham to venture his life, to put himself in harm's way, to go against these men, not knowing what would be the outcome? If you look at the odds were totally against him and his little band of men. What would cause him to do that? Let me tell you why. Because he had a vested interest. When I think about our families, when I think about our children, our grandchildren, when I think about our church, when I think about all the things that God has blessed us with, can I tell you that the devil is absolutely out to destroy their lives. He's out to destroy our life. And when I think about how that we're going to go against one that is greater than we are, more powerful than we are, more experienced than we are, it is an impossible task. But we do what we got to do because we have a vested interest. Here's what I believe. I believe what God has given to me, the devil has no right to it. And so Lot had been taken. This was his nephew. Lot's whole family had been taken and he was taken captive. And the odds of Lot ever surviving that ordeal that he was going through was very slim. So Abraham said, you know what, I'm going to do something about it. And may I tell you this morning that when Abraham went out with those 318 men and those three friends of his, can I tell you, when he went out, he didn't go out alone, because there was one that was going with him that was greater than all the forces of the earth and all the host of hell. And he went out in the power of God's might. When I'm facing an enemy that I know I cannot defeat, and I'm going because I'm doing what God wants me to do, can I tell you this morning, God will enable me to do what is impossible in the eyes of men and in my own flesh, in my own resources. So God gave him a victory. about. That brings us to point number two. Every time, I found this in my own life. I've been saved for a few years now, and I found this in my own life. Every time that God gives a great victory, you can count on it, there is going to be a great trial, a great temptation, a great test. So as he's coming back from this slaughter, this great victory, and he's bringing all the people back, everybody's coming back, all the people, all the spoil, here he's met on his way back. And who in the world do we find meets him? Verse number 17, we find it's the king of Sodom as he comes out to meet him. Well, when I look at that in that verse of scripture and I look down at verse number 18, all of a sudden, aren't you glad for divine interruptions? As the king of Sodom is making his way toward Abraham and he's prancing out there, you know, all of a sudden there is a divine interruption. And you know who interrupted this meeting between Abraham and Sodom, Bera, the king of Sodom? It is the king of Salem. So the king of wretchedness who is coming out to meet Abraham after this great victory and this slaughter, here comes the king of Salem. His name is Melchizedek, which literally means the king of righteousness. And aren't you glad that God is able to make his way to us, because he who just enabled us to get the great victory is also there to help us in times of temptation and trials and testings that are going to come our way. Because he equips me to fight my battles, but he also equips me and helps me when these times of temptations are going to come. So he meets the king of Salem, Melchizedek, and he comes to him. Now, when I look at these verses of the scripture, something happens here, and it's really interesting the way things are going. So here's my second word. My first word is the word victory, but my second word is the word vow. Not vowel, but vow, V-O-W, the word vow, or a promise. So as he's making his way back to where they were, here comes the king of Sodom, and here comes, gloriously, the king of Salem, Melchizedek. But after they have this interruption by the king of Salem, there then makes his way, verse 21, we have now the king of Sodom that makes his way toward Abraham. And he tells Abraham, you can keep everything. All you do is give me my people. You keep all this stuff. Well, that doesn't sound like, that sounds like a pretty good deal, I guess, but we don't understand the temptation that was here. Do you know what we just said a while ago? These four kings had just defeated 11 kingdoms. We know from prior verses of scripture that they had taken all of the stuff from Sodom and Gomorrah. But I want you to know, as they're making their way south, they're just not defeating people. They are taking stuff. So here in this thing, when he says, you can have all this stuff, just give me my people. This is what the king of Sodom said. He wasn't just promising him the stuff of Sodom and Gomorrah, but he was promising literally, and most likely, all of the spoil and goods from 11 kingdoms. Wow. 11 kingdoms. Wow. So the temptation is pretty good. If I get Sodom and Gomorrah stuff, that's pretty good. But 11 kingdoms, all of the wealth and all of the resources, all of a sudden now, he says to Abraham, all I want is my people, you can have all the rest. But something happens. When I look at verse number 21, look what it says. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the portion or the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. That is the vow. So this is an interesting vow. This is a promise that he has made to God. And he's saying there, I have lifted up my hand to the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. I'm not taking anything from you. If my button was about to fall off of my coat, I wouldn't ask from you a piece of thread. If my shoe was flopping on my foot, I wouldn't ask from you a shoestring to keep my shoe tied on my foot. Why? Because you'd say you made me rich. Here was the trap. The trap was is that Bera knew that if Abraham accepted all of this stuff, he would have Abraham under his thumb. This was nothing short of a bribe. Can I tell you what the devil wants to do to me and you? The devil wants me and you to do what he wants us to do with all of the promises of all the glitter and glamour and gold of this world so that he can control me. He wants to buy me. He wants to buy my family. He wants to buy my ministry. He wants to control everything about me. You just won a great victory. It wasn't the devil that gave you the victory. It was God that gave him the victory. But all of a sudden, here comes the person of this, of Bera, the king of Sodom, who personifies the devil himself, who comes up and promises him all this stuff. All of this stuff. But would you look at this vow when he says this? He says in verse number 22, he says, I have lifted up my hand to the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. The Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Would you notice the trust that Abraham has? He said, I am trusting not you and what you can give me, but I am trusting the Lord. He is Lord. He's eternal. What you have is temporal. You're temporal. You're temporary. But I'm trusting the one who has always been. And I'm trusting the one that can supply every single need. Because when your stuff runs out, he's still in charge. I'm trusting him. And he gives him the word of God to his soul that this is the one that I believe in. I trust him. And the vow is made. I'm trusting him. But I want you to know something else about this vow, what he says here. I want you to notice the tense. You heard about the psychiatrist. The man that went to the psychiatrist. He says, one day I dream I'm a teepee, and the next day I dream I'm a wigwam. And the psychiatrist said, well, sir, you're just too tense. So, isn't that bad? It gets worse tonight. But anyway, look at the tense of the verb that was used in verse number 22. Look what he says here. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Do you know what tense the verb is in? It is in the past tense. Now look at this for just a moment. This is happening at, if we look at it at record speed, at regular speed of time, Abraham comes back, he meets Melchizedek, the king of Sodom comes, he promises him all this stuff. And as they're talking, Abraham says, I've lifted up my hand to the Most High God. There is no time elapse. He didn't say, hey, I gotta take a few minutes to go back and talk about this, to think about this, to see what's going to go on here. He says, no. He just says, I've lifted up my hand to the Most High God. In past tense. Now, what does that mean? That means that before this event ever happened, he had already told God that he would not take anything that Bera offered him. Now, what does that mean? That means that before this event ever took place, he had already been warned that this was going to happen. He'd already been warned. Now, who was the one that would have warned him? Back in the previous verses of this, he met a man by the name of Melchizedek. The king of righteousness, the king of Salem. He had already met him. Do you know who he was? He was the priest of a name that we don't know so much that it's called, but his name is El Elyon. He was the priest of the Most High God. Who was it that taught Abraham about the Most High God? You know who it was? It was Melchizedek. Before he ever met Sodom's king, he had already met the king of Salem, and he told him about the Most High God. That means you don't get any higher than the Most High God. If you get above him, you're God. Nobody can get above God. The devil tried it. A lot of people try to do it. But you cannot get higher than God. He's the Most High God. And he said, I am trusting the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, the one that owns it all. I'm trusting him. Well, who told him about it? Melchizedek did. So can I tell you this morning, we better stay in the Word of God. We better keep God close to our hearts and in our hearts. We better be sure that we study God's Word and let God prepare us for the temptations and trials and tests that are going to come our way. And we need to say, Lord, by the good grace of God,
I'm not going to sell out. I'm not going to sell my family out. I'm not going to sell my ministry out. I'm not going to sell my church out. By the good grace of God, I'm going to stand true when temptations are brought to me. Because let me tell you something, a lot of people today, maybe even in this church, you have already sold out to the things of this world. But can I tell you, when I read the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, it shares some wonderful things about this man by the name of Abraham. And I want you to know it is glorious things, which brings us to the last point. So we have a victory. We have a vow that Abraham made. But then last of all, the third thing is the word value. The word value. Now, when he makes this temptation in verse number 21, when Bera, king of Sodom, he says, just give me my people. You keep the goods. We got to understand that Abraham had to weigh in his mind some important things. And you and I have to do the same thing. Did you know that there are some things that don't really matter in this life? Did you know that? There's some things that just do not matter at all. I believe that God will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I believe that He's able to take care of me. I believe that God will meet our needs. But there's some things that just do not matter. Did you know that? Hair doesn't matter. You people that spend money on whatever you spend money on, I don't know what you spend money on, you know, on for hair. But whatever, you know, hair just doesn't matter. There's some things that just aren't important. You know that? So Abraham had to weigh some things out because he said, I'm going to give you all this stuff. So Abraham had three things that he had to weigh in his mind. Which was more important? What was more valuable? Number one was his faith. You can have all this stuff, but you got to give me your faith. So Abraham had to say, is my faith more important than all this stuff? He had to begin to think, now where did my faith, where did it bring me from? Think about where his faith brought him. From Ur of the Chaldees, from idolatry, from wickedness and sin. I think about August the 1st, 1971. When I received Christ Jesus as my Savior, the pit of sin that I was in, think about where my faith brought me from. I think about where his faith took him from Ur of the Chaldees. When you study the life of Abraham and find out where it took him right smack dab in the middle of all the promises of God. Can I tell you, your faith, you cannot sell your faith and come out ahead. You cannot give your faith away and come out ahead. Your faith is what brought you to Christ. Your faith is what keeps you going. It is your faith. It is what made Abraham Abraham. It's where it took him. And when I look at the life of Abraham, he was a man of faith. He couldn't sell his faith. He had to weigh it out. The second thing that I look about what he had to estimate, he had to value out, was his future. He had to value his future. Well, when I look in the Word of God, I'm seeing Abraham's future in past tense. I already know where his future took him. But Abraham didn't know where his future was taking him. He had no idea when he left Ur of the Chaldees where he was going. One writer said that when Abraham followed God, he walked right off the map. I mean, he didn't know where he was going. Right off the map. His future. I find Abraham's life mentioned in the Word of God, Genesis chapter number 11. I find the last mention of the life of Abraham in 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 11. I find there are over 240 verses of Scripture that talk about Abraham. I find Abraham's life went from Ur of the Chaldees, and where's the last time we look at Abraham? He's in paradise. Rich man's having a conversation, said, "Boy, I'd like to be over there with you." Why? Because the rich man gave everything that God had to offer him. He sold out for himself, and he ended up in hell. A lot of people do that today. They don't want God. They don't want the Word of God. They don't want nothing to do with God. And so they sell their soul to the devil and for the things of this world. And the rich man ended up in hell. And here we have a man of faith by the name of Abraham who could have taken everything that this world had to offer him. But he gave it all up for his faith. And we see a man but his future. But when I look at the faith, the future of Abraham, it's really more than that. If you just go ahead for four chapters, you come to chapter number 18, and you're going to find something wonderful. In chapter number 14, Abraham has just rescued all these people of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's rescued every one of them from the hands of men. But when I come to chapter number 18, God has just revealed to Abraham what he's going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. He is going to destroy the whole place. And in chapter number 18, can I tell you what Abraham begins to do? He begins to pray to God and plead to God. He becomes an intercessor in chapter number 18. He begins to plead. He said, Lord, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And he said, Lord, if there are 50 righteous over there in that place, would you destroy that place for 50 righteous? He becomes a prayer warrior. He becomes an intercessor. He begins to beg God for people. These people in chapter 14 that he had rescued from the hands of men, he is now begging God, and he's trying to rescue them from the wrath of a holy God. An intercessor. He goes from 50 to 40 all the way down to 10. He begins to plead. Now, the reason he does that is because he never sold his testimony. He didn't sell his future. I remember Lot. You remember Lot? I mean, judgment's falling. The angels go over there to Sodom where he is, and they said, we're getting ready to destroy this place. Do you have any family here? Go warn them. He goes over there to his sons-in-laws and his daughters, and he says, get out of here. And the Bible says he was this one that mocked to his sons-in-laws. Why? Because Lot had sold his testimony for the treasures of this world. And Lot lost it all, including his family. But here's a man by the name of Abraham. How much influence would Abraham have had with men and God had in chapter number 14 he sold out? So he waited out. I can have it right now, right now. Everything that the world has right now, or I can trust God and wait on God. And we find in chapter number 11 of the book of Hebrews, verse number 13, that Abraham was able to see the invisible. Abraham was able to embrace the eternal. And Abraham had a future that was like no other future. Why? Because he made a decision in chapter number 14 when he was tempted to sell everything out. He said, I am going to trust God. He had a faith that was not surpassed by anyone. The father of faith. Why? Because in chapter number 14, he didn't sell out. But there was one other one. We see his faith. We see his future. But there's one other thing that he had to weigh out in his mind. What is more important? All this stuff that I can see and I can lay hold of, or something else? And the third thing was the value of his friend. Now, Bera, the king of Sodom, he wanted to be his friend. Oh, listen, I'm going to give you all this stuff. You just give me my people. You take all this stuff. I want to be your friend. Oh. But Abraham had a friend that was like no other friend. And what's amazing about this friend, he doesn't bless me because I deserve it. He doesn't bless me to get something out of me and to have his thumb on my head. His love is unconditional. We don't really understand that because we don't operate that way so much. You give to me and I give to you. Oh, but God's love, unconditional. The promises of God. And Abraham put his friend in those balances, in those scales. All of the things that Bera was going to give him, boy, it weighted that. I mean, that it just pulled those scales right over. Man, it was so heavy. It was so glittery and so goldy. And so he was going to put his friend in the other side. And when his friend got in the other side, all of the riches of this world wasn't even like one grain of sand in all the shores of this world. Because his friend was more valuable to him. Can I tell you? My dear wife, she's gone through cancer. She's gone through so many surgeries. And now she's come through open heart surgery. Oh, can I tell you about a friend? Can I tell you about my friend? In everything that we've gone through, here and in Africa, when our son was being pulled out of a car to be killed in Africa, and all the things that God has allowed us to go through, can I tell you? Never one time did he ever forsake us. The devil says, hey, I want you to get a hold of this. I mean, he's saying, you can have it right now. The problem is we don't want to wait. We can have it right now. Oh, but I got a friend. And my friend, he's worth more to me than all that this world could ever offer. So he had faith. Is my faith more important to me than this world? My future. I have been preaching for 48 years. And I want you to know I'd love to preach for 48 more. I have come absolutely too far to give it all away for fog and smog and smoke from this world. But my friend, surpasses it all. My friend. So this is Abraham. We're looking at 2020. Can you imagine 2020? We're facing it. It's here. And we've had victories in 2019. I had two grandsons that surrendered to preach in 2019. We've had victories and glorious things. We're coming on a new year with all of its insecurities and the unsureness of it. And we're going to have to make decisions. And we better be sure that right now, today, before it ever happens, Lord, today, I want you to take my life. All that I am, I give it to you. You owe me lock, stock, and barrel. And that when the trial comes, we've already made the decision where we're going to go, where we're going to stand. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.